Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. With this, we conclude talking about the verdicts and the rulings over Friday prayer. And we start and begin to talk about the rulings on Eid prayers. But I believe that we should begin a new session because it's a new topic. Therefore, I would like to see if you have any questions that we would, inshallah, try to answer them. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salam.
Suppose if I'm trying to memorize a particular surah from the glorious Quran by listening to it time and again on my mobile, I'm traveling in a train or a bus, and if at all I come across a ayah of a prostration, then how do I do that? Because in the bus and a train, it's not possible. So on reaching home, is it mandatory to perform the prostration of recitation?
Okay, we've stated before that the ruling on the prostration of recitation is not mandatory. It is mustahab. It is recommended. Therefore, if you're listening to it on your mobile or in the radio while driving or while on the train or on a bus, you are not obliged to do it. If there's enough space for you to do it, you can do it if you wish, but it's not mandatory. And that is why Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, once on a Jumu'ah, he recited a verse that included prostration of recitation. He went down from the pulpit and he offered the sujood, and everybody offered sujood with him. The second Jumu'ah, he recited the same verse or another verse that had the prostration of recitation, and he did not prostrate. And when he saw that the people were a little bit either confused or annoyed, he said, "Oh people, I deliberately did this, just this, so that I would teach you that it is not mandatory. It is something that is recommended. You do it, alhamdulillah. You don't do it, you have no problem in that regard."
I have been to masjid where in the first rakat, when the imam says, "Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la," everyone, they say Subhan Rabbil A'la aloud. And after Suratul Ghashiyah, they say Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Is it permissible?
This is all part of the innovations. This is part of the things that are fabricated in Islam. For example, it is similar to talk shows when you have a host and a guest. This is what the people are doing now. When the muadhin makes al-iqamah, he says, "Qad qamati as-salat wa qad qamati as-salat," and the people say, "Aqamaha Allahu wa adamaha." When the imam says, "Istawu," they say, "Istawena." "I'tadilu," they say, "I'tadalna." Seriously, this is what's happening in Arabia. They're answering back. So the imam says, "Allahu Akbar," they say, "Azza wa Jal." And they offer takbir. When he says, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in," they say, "Ista'anna billah." What is this? This is not a conversation. You are innovating and you're doing things that are baseless and has no relation to Islam or to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. That is why when the imam says, "Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la," everybody says, "Subhana rabbiyal a'la." And when Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Inna ilayna iyabahum, thumma inna alayna hisabahum," he says, "Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira." All of this is nonsense. It is not related to the sunnah. If there is a hadith that supports this and the hadith is authentic, not fabricated, then yes, you have an excuse to say. But if it's not, then it comes under the category of innovation. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, in India, there's a tradition, I don't know of its authenticity, but people here pray two rakat of shukr as a prayer. How far is it authentic?
When do they do this?
When something blessed happened to them. Like some good news, a good job, or if a child passes the exam, they pray two rakat of shukr.
Well, to my knowledge, there isn't anything as two rakat of shukr. There is sajdat ash-shukr. There are two rak'ahs of tawbah, of seeking Allah's forgiveness and repentance. But to my knowledge, I do not know of these two rak'ahs of gratitude. However, any voluntary prayer you offer, it's considered to be out of gratitude to Allah. So not necessarily when something happens, whatever you pray, it is a form of gratitude. Therefore, I believe that if you pray 2 rak'ahs, 4 rak'ahs, 10 rak'ahs, voluntary prayer, general prayer, as a sign of gratitude to Allah, this is, inshallah, permissible. But is it part of the sunnah? Not to my knowledge yet. The concept is there. Be grateful, offer prayer, inshallah, this is sufficient. Yes, Faisal.
Sheikh, as you said for the before question, that it's all innovation to reply to the imam or whatever he's saying. But I don't know about the authenticity, but there is a hadith that whenever the Prophet used to read something about Jannah or something about good, he used to ask for it. And whenever he read about hell, he used to ask refuge from it. So should we do what the Prophet only did at that place, or can we do it wherever we find it?
First of all, this is something related to a specific issue, and that is, whenever the Prophet ﷺ passed by a verse that talks about mercy, he would ask Allah for his mercy, and whenever he passed by a verse that spoke about punishment, he would seek refuge in Allah. This is an authentic hadith. It's different than whatever comes else, such as when saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, or as in the last surah of At-Tin, Alaysa Allahu bi ahkam al-hakimin. People say Bala wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin. And also people say yes or no. These are things, some of them are backed by weak hadith. So weak hadith to some scholars is acceptable, because it is in fada'il al-a'mal, in something that is not related to halal or haram, they say it's okay to do it. I believe that it is not. As long as it's not authentic, you should not do it. But regarding the issue you're saying, scholars say, yes, if you are reciting the Quran and you pass by such a verse, you ask Allah for his a blessing and favor, and you seek refuge in him. Is it permissible for people listening to the recitation of the imam? Scholars say, no, it is not. Unless the imam himself, while reading, says, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, and you hear that, you can say. But if the imam is saying whatever he's saying, asking Allah Azza wa Jal or praising Allah in the Quran, he's not saying it, he's reciting Quran, you are not allowed to say or speak or talk or supplicate unless he does this. And this is the most authentic opinion of scholars, so that you would listen wholeheartedly to the Quran.
Sheikh, this is regarding the prostration for in sajda tilawa, the Quran. Is there any difference or any dua that is to be recited while in prostration, which is different from the other prostrations?
Some scholars say that there is a particular dua for the prostration of recitation. And they say, sajada wajhi lilladhi shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu bihawlihi wa quwwatihi fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Allahumma laka sajadt wa bika amant wa laka aslamt. Allahumma ahtut anni biha wizra wa aktub li biha ajra wa arfa'ni biha qadra. And all of these don't seem to be authentic in the recitation of prostration. They are general supplications that you say in your recitation. And that is why scholars say, you say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is sufficient. But if you like these supplications, which are authentic and beautiful, to be included, there is nothing wrong in that, inshallah.
Sheikh, usually many times it happens when a person dies, the family members and friends get together and they recite Quran 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. But they hardly do the prostration of tilawat. I have not seen anybody doing it, and it is not done. So first of all, is this sort of getting together for recitation of Quran for the after the person dies, is it recommended? And when they don't do the prostration, what is the ruling?
First of all, it is not permissible to gather and make dua for a deceased person, or to recite the Quran on behalf of a deceased person. All of this is considered to be innovation. Not only that, the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as in the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah, he says that we used to consider gathering and making food on behalf of the deceased form of niyaha, which is a major sin, form of wailing. So even to gather in one house and people come and they drink coffee and tea and give their condolences at a specific time, this is not permissible. You want to give your condolences, you see someone, you tell him, may Allah reward you for your loss in the masjid, on the street, in the market, but not to go and gather in one place. And even worse, to make food and invite people to come and eat. This is all part of the bid'ah. Reciting the Quran, there is no evidence that it would reach the deceased. And it is a bid'ah when you have 30 people coming to give their condolences and they give each one juzu. So each one reads it in about 10 minutes. And by this, they have all finished the Quran and they're requested to give the reward to the deceased, as if, mashallah, they're making a bank transfer or an ATM. So put your number, PIN number. Okay, I'll transfer this much and much to the deceased. We have no evidence behind that. The only authentic evidence we have is that you can first supplicate to the deceased. Any dua or asking Allah for forgiveness reaches him. Two, charity reaches him. Authentic hadith states that whatever charity you give on behalf of the deceased reaches him. Three, performing Hajj, and scholars say Umrah is as well. So if you perform Hajj on behalf of a deceased, this will reach him. And finally, fasting from his relatives. If he died unable to fast or has missed fasting, such as oaths or pledges or expiations, it is permissible for them to fast on his behalf. Other than that, praying, no. Reciting Quran, no. Doing forms of worship other than that, all of this is considered to be part of innovative things. And I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.